Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show, plus some extra tracks that you might have missed on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on Monday at 1pm, with a repeat Thursday at 6pm and Sunday at 10am, with new episodes every other week. But for now, enjoy the Happy Hour podcast. Hello and welcome to the Happy Hour.
Today we're continuing our look back at the best stories and the best features from 2021.
And kicking off part two of our Best of the Year special, here's the Buggles.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles. Well, so they say. You're listening to the Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio.
Welcome to the show, Holly and Paulina with you for the next hour. And today, we're bringing you the best of 2021.
So lots of content, including some tips from pharmacist Elizabeth Roddick about managing stress. And Holly will get sweaty with a nice review of Jumpy Cat app, an accessible workout app.
And we're also going to hear conversations from the blind poet Dave Steele and activist and disability blogger Lucy Edwards.
And we'll throw in some good music as well. But before any of that, let's learn about a condition that affects many of us at this time of the year. Chris Simpson has more.
Today, we're going to be focusing on something called seasonal affective disorder, reduced to the acronym of SAD, S-A-D, which you may or may not have heard of. Seasonal affective disorder is a type of depression that we can experience particular seasons and times of the year. It's not depression in the sense that you may have heard that word used in the past, because that can be a low mood that lasts for a very long time, regardless of the season, whereas SAD, you're likely to experience this just during some seasons, particularly. The causes of it are quite interesting, because it's thought of maybe the changes in the body's internal clock due to the seasonal changes, vitamin D insufficiency, so lack of sunlight. And it's more likely that you're more susceptible, if you like, to be affected by SAD if you have a family history, or female, actually. And it's also a common reason why people might get SAD is if they're they're living quite far away from the equator as well. That's often linked to SAD as well. The opportunity to get out and get into the sunlight being somewhat limited. So we need to work around how we can do that. And we're going to give you five tips around those now. So the first one might seem obvious, and it's to make sure that we are getting sunlight in our lives each day. So vitamin D deficiency can bring on SAD. So make sure that you get some sunlight and that you're exposing yourself to sunlight, or any light during your break and during the day. So do prioritize that, ring fence that, and make sure that nothing can penetrate that, you know, any emails that come up or any meetings that come up, you're going to have to maybe postpone them to make sure that you're getting that sunlight. The second tip is to sit near windows where possible. So that might not be possible for all of us, but where possible, position your workspace in close proximity to a window. That really, really helps us during the winter. And if you can't do that, at least take your breaks in close proximity to a window. But very much recommended that if you can, move your working area or your workspace to the closest proximity to a window, if possible. I know that's not possible for everyone, but if it is within your grasp, do it. That would be our recommendation. The third tip is to work flexibly to maximize natural light as much as possible. So one of the things that we are doing in the organizational development team is the email footer. And we have this in our signature of everyone in the OD team at the moment, which is, please note, I'm working flexibly at the moment. So whilst it suits me to email you now, I don't expect a response or action outside your own working hours. So if it is a case that you don't have meetings and you want to take a longer break during the day to maximize the sunlight, that's something that Matt Stringer, our CEO, has sponsored that idea and said he's doing himself. And the result of that might mean that occasionally you have to work outside of normal working hours so that you get that sunlight. Go for it. We recommend that. And maybe you want to steal that that email footer just so you're not putting pressure on anyone else to respond if you do respond outside of working hours. Tip four, I'd explore the first three tips first before going down this route because there is a cost attached to this, but SAD lamps do exist and it might be something that might be a benefit to you at some point. And what they are, they replicate sunlight. And they can be on different timers. So if you're waking up early, you can set it for, say, 6 a.m. in the morning while it's still dark outside, and you can put on the lamp and it will kind of gradually light up the room as if sun is coming into the room. They do vary in cost, and they, you know, some of them are probably around £100, but it might be something, given how much time we're spending at home, that you might want to invest in your own time. And the fifth tip and the final tip is, you know, the more we talk, the better we feel. Really important to remember that the more we talk, the better we feel. So I'm going to go through some telephone numbers online. The first one is the Samaritans, which is open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and they'll listen to anything that's upsetting you. And you can call them on 116 123. Absolutely free from any phone, 116 123. SANE line is another one, which is support for people experiencing a mental health problem or supporting someone else who is. And you can call them on 0300 304 7000. And that's between 4:30 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. each day. And a really important one is Campaign Against Living Miserably, which is, the charity is called CALM. And that's specifically support for anyone who identifies as male. You can call them on 0800 58 58 58, and that's between 5 p.m. and midnight every day. And they have a web chat service on their website as well. But it's very important. It's, you know, there's many statistics around men often repress their feelings around this, and we do need to share them. We do need to get them off our chest. The more we talk, the better we feel. So do encourage men or people who identify as male to get in touch with any support that might be out there. So that's it for now. Hopefully you'll find that useful and apply some of those tips, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Chris. You're listening to The Happy Hour, and still to come on the show, we'll be looking back at a conversation from earlier on in the year with disability activist and blind broadcaster Lucy Edwards. And shortly, we'll have a demo of an accessible workout app, Jumpy Cat. That's next on today's Best of 2021 special, just after Dolly Parton. Jumpy Cat is a simple and accessible fitness app, suitable for people of all levels of fitness. The app can compose personalised audio and video workouts on demand, with detailed audio guidance in a variety of training styles from agility to yoga. You can enjoy thousands of free workouts wherever and whenever you want. Let's dive into the app.
Jumpy Cat. Double tap to open. Jumpy Cat, create workout, heading.
When you open the app, it prompts you to create a workout, and here you can choose the various options to customise your workout. But first, let's take a look at the tabs at the bottom of the screen.
Tab bar, selected, create, tab, 1 of 3. completed, tab, 2 of 3, more, tab, 3 of 3.
Let's take a look at the more tab.
More, heading. Fitness Coach Pro, heading. Pro subscription, button. Restore purchase, button. Voice instruct. Selected, basic voice guidance, button. Sets basic voice guidance for exercises. Detailed voice guidance, button. Sets detailed for guidance for exercises.
So you have a couple of options for voice guidance. The basic voice guidance doesn't give any instructions. So I'm very new to this, so I'm going to go for the detailed voice guidance.
Selected, detailed voice guidance.
Now that we've set up the voice guidance, let's go back to the create tab.
Tab bar, create, tab.
Here we can customize our workout.
Type, button. Free, heading.
So in the type section, we can choose the workout we want.
Pick me up, 10, 15 minutes, button. Quick session, 20, 30 minutes, button. Full session, 35, 60 minutes, button. Active recovery, 15, 40 minutes. Active recovery, 15, 40 minutes, button. Free, heading, pick me up, 10, 15 minutes, button.
I'm going to go for the pick me up option.
Type, button. Pick me up, 10, 15 minutes, button. Body area, button.
In here, you can select the area of your body you want it to focus on.
Free, heading, full body, button. Core and abs, button. Lower body, button. Pro, heading.
Now, there are limited options with the free version, and as you can tell, there are also options with the paid or pro version.
Create, free, heading, full body, button.
I'll go for full body.
Type, button. Duration, button. Free, heading. 10 minutes, button. 15 minutes, button.
I'll go for 10 minutes.
10 minutes, button. Type, button. Pick me up, body area, full body, duration, button. 10 minutes, button. Difficulty, button. Level 1, light, button.
So there are various levels to choose from.
Free, heading. Level 1, light, button. Level 2, mellow, button. Level 3, sweaty, button. Level 4, challenge, button. Level 5, beast, button. Level 5, beast, button.
Well, I'm certainly not a beast, so I'm going to go for level 1.
Free, heading. Level 1, light, type, button. Pick me up, body, full, duration, 10 minutes, difficult. Level 1, style, agility and reps per style, button.
So let's have a look at the styles.
Free, heading. Agility and mobility, button. Cardio and hit, button. Low impact, button. Power and strength, button. Tone and shape, button. Pro, heading.
Again, there are free and paid for options in here.
Cardio and hit, low impact, button. Type, button. Pick me up, body, full, direct, 10, difficult, level, style, low, reps per exercise, button. Balanced, a few reps, button.
One thing worth noting is whenever you select an option, it does take you to the top of the screen, so you do have to swipe all the way down. Now we want it to design our workout, so let's find the Design My Workout button.
Design My Workout, button. Jumpy Cat, exit, button. Cancels the workout. Optimizing media, ellipsis, dimmed. Your workout today, dimmed. Workout summary, 10 minutes low impact for the full body, dimmed. Workout format, 1 groups of 8 exercises, dimmed. Workout pace, 40 seconds on, 20 seconds off per exercise, dimmed. Warm up, included, dimmed. Cool down, included, dimmed. Let's begin, button.
Let's give it a go.
Landscape. Charge port to the right, close.
Now I need to find the play button.
Back, play pause toggle, button.
It's worth noting that all of these buttons are labeled.
Circle steps. Instructions. Imagine a circle on the ground. With your legs close together and parallel to each other, take small and quick steps around the circle. Switch direction every time you make one full circle. Let's get our muscles warmed up first. We're doing circle steps first. Keep that whole body nice and rigid, those abs, torso, and legs. We're gonna do head nods next. 3, 2, 1. Head nods. Instructions. In a narrow stance, breathe out and slowly bring your chin towards your chest into a nod. Inhale to straighten your neck back up to neutral. Head nods. Don't tilt your neck backward, just return to neutral. Half point. Keep it going. All right, warm-ups all done. Let's move on to our workout, starting off with step jacks. Step jacks. Instructions. Stand up straight, with your feet about hips width apart. With an exhale, step one leg out to the side, and raise your arms above your head. As you inhale, step your foot back in, and bring your arms down. Repeat on the other side. Step jacks. Flex those arms and shoulders, and move them with control. 3, 2, 1. Quick break, try to take deep breaths.
For the purposes of this demonstration, I'm not going to put you through me doing a full workout. Overall, I'm really impressed with Jumpy Cat. It gives clear and detailed guidance and doesn't rely on you being able to see the screen like many apps do. I would recommend it to anyone that wants to get into home workouts.
Guide dog owners create a special relationship with their guide dogs. They develop a unique bond. Lucy Edwards is a journalist and digital creator. She was matched with her first guide dog when she was 18. For the last 6 years, Lucy and her guide dog Olga have travelled together, been on many exciting adventures, and Olga has accompanied Lucy during some of the most monumental moments of her life. Lucy joins me on the line now. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's great to have you.
I'm happy to be here. I'm really excited to chat.
You were 18 when you were matched with guide dog Olga. This is often the age when we're thinking about many important life decisions, our future employment, education, and all the aspects of growing up. Looking back, how did it feel to get your first guide dog at this age?
Oh my gosh. Like, when I think back to 18-year-old Lucy, I was so scared and apprehensive to kind of look after a being that just looked at me for love, support, cuddles, but also that I looked at for guidance. I mean, literal guiding, from day to day, going around with kind of no mobility aid, shoving off any sort of attempts of trying to learn my cane as a teenager, like, oh my gosh, I don't need my cane, and then suddenly total blindness, and, you know, having this fluffy lovely creature. I think when she came into my life, I was like, I adore you more than I've ever adored any other thing ever. And the bond between a guide dog and an owner, I didn't know then how great that whole process would be. I mean, the first 6 months were crazy, kind of like the bedding in period that I always call it. But no, I think I never thought that I would ever feel this much love for a dog ever.
That's so nice to hear. Are you glad you got your first guide dog when you were 18 rather than later on?
Yes, that is such an interesting question to ask me, Hol, because I think, you know, it was something that I toyed with because I was so young. I knew I was ready and I had my family behind me. And my mum and dad were like, why don't you get a dog? You know, embrace your mobility aid. It was a very physical, you know, it made my physical appearance so like, you are blind, you know, to the rest of the world. And I was kind of pushing back against that, you know, my whole childhood. it did work because I kept up the training and because I kept persistent with her, and I had my family and my boyfriend, now fiance, around me to kind of guide me in saying, look, Lou, she can do it. Because going through sight loss as well, I was very low, I was quite depressed, you know, on antidepressants and things, just lost my eyesight. So she was the thing that got me out of bed in the morning, feeding her and something else needing me in this world, like a reason to get out of bed, was, I think, exactly what I needed.
Has Olga provided you with emotional support over the years? Obviously, you've said she got you out of bed, but there's so much more than just a mobility aid or RI, so to speak.
Yeah, honestly, like that little bundle of joy has honestly made me walk outside the front door so much more, because she needed to be working. You know, at the end of the day, they need a lot of work. They need to be on harness every single day, especially when they're younger and they're cheeky. And she needed me as much as I needed her. And I always say, like, when me and Olga were working together, like, she, like, I know her and I'm with her more than most humans. Like, I know when she's in a mood, I know when she needs food, you know, she puts her chin on me, she has her little isms. I just know her personality. And probably people think, oh my gosh, who is that crazy dog lady? But my whole world was turned upside down when I took that harness, because I didn't know you could trust a dog that much. I didn't know that I would be able to trust a dog with my life. And Olga was the very first time I ever did that. They always say that your first partnership is the most special, because you're learning to be a dog owner and a trainer, basically. That's what the Guide Dogs for the Blind teach you, to basically have a crash course in learning how to train this amazing 50,000 pound dog. And you're like, oh my gosh, what has happened to my life? But it's the most amazing thing. I honestly wouldn't have changed that experience for the world. And I think, yeah, it just makes me emotional talking about her. She's beautiful.
Is there any particular moment when Olga has really been in tune to how you're feeling?
Yeah, I think there's many moments when Olga kind of looks at me and knows. I think they really do play off like the stress hormone. She knows when I'm crying and she licks the tears off my eye, like not off my eyes per se, but like off my face. She's always like, if I ever have a bit of a tiff with Ollie, my fiance, that is, you know, we all have a bit of a crossword sometimes. She's always like, sits in between us both, and she looks left and right and left and right until we make up. And she knows when we're hugging, and then all three of us have a hug and stuff like that. She really does play off kind of the dynamic. She knows.
When you're out and about, would you say that she's been your comfort over the years, especially in places like a new city, or when you've gone to do some work and you've been anxious or nervous?
Yeah, definitely, Hal. Like, her presence really just calms me down. I mean, just her being there when I was presenting a Radio 1 show, just her being there when I first went on, you know, on set for a show or anything like that. She's always been the icebreaker. She's always been the most, you know, the thing that we talk most about in the day. And she's always been that light that has guided me through. And I honestly say that in the best way possible. Like, she is my furry little light, that I don't have light anymore. I don't see everything around me, but she sees it for me. And she's always guided me, and she's worked and worked and worked and worked her little socks off. She was the cheekiest little thing, and still is, even though she's, you know, not working as much anymore. You know, well, not working at all anymore. But I just, like, I don't know what those scenarios or those work moments would have been without her. Like, Lucy without Olga is just not a sentence that I've ever said in the last however many years. Like, I can't think about properly going outside the front door being blind Lucy without Olga.
Lucy, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you. Thank you so much for joining me on the Happy Hour.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Hall. Lovely to speak to you.
Out of sight, out of mind. In the darkness, there's no light. There you go. Now I know what it means to stay in faith. I won't give up, I won't give in. I'll give it everything.
That lovely voice of Jack Savaretti there and his song Home. You're listening to The Happy Hour and it's part two of our Best of 2021 special. Now it's time to chat medical matters and our Toby Davey checks in with pharmacist Elizabeth Roddick for some stress management advice.
Hello Elizabeth, how are you?
Very well, Toby.
Elizabeth, what happens in our body when we start to feel stressed?
You may have heard of the fear, fight and flight mechanism, Toby. This is where the body gets ready to react to danger. Now, in prehistoric times, you'd maybe be running away from a wild animal. There's a spike in noradrenaline, amongst other substances, that triggers and flood the body. That causes your heart rate to rise, your mouth becomes dry, muscles are geared ready for action. The opposite effect happens in the gut. I don't know if you remember a time at school at the start of a race where all these mechanisms came into play. Often in modern times, the mechanism is turned on almost permanently. And chronic stress is responsible for so many health problems. It could be high blood pressure, rashes, headaches, poor sleep quality. That's just a few. Even watching or listening to a gripping story on television or radio, that can mean the body is put in the fear, fight and flight state almost quite a long time while that's going on.
And do you have any tips on how to maybe reduce stress at all?
Well, when someone comes into the pharmacy, it'll be with a symptom. I often ask what's happening in their life. With a young person, it may be exam pressure, middle age, particularly women, seem to be juggling teenage children, work, elderly patients. And our older patients, through loneliness or frustration and not being able to do the things they used to do, or have been diagnosed with illnesses that seem to, but not always, come with age. Sometimes if they can make a change in lifestyle, for example, we know that exercise is a great stress buster. Of course, be different for different ages, but I was reading about two 70-year-olds who have taken up jogging for the first time. Nutritional aspects can play a part, obviously, if the body's not receiving good, fresh, nutritional food. That can have an effect on general health, and that can be stressful. Another tip is to practice diaphragmatic breathing. Now, this is when you engage your stomach, abdominal muscles, diaphragm when breathing. And this in turn relaxes your body and calms the mind. So I'm just going to practice it right now, Toby. If you're sitting upright,
feet
flat against the floor, then relax into your seat. The moment I'm going to ask you to take a big breath in through your nose. But first, I want you to put your hand on your stomach.
Okay.
Now, as you breathe in, your hand should move out as your stomach is pushed out. So breathe in, stomach pushed out. And then when you exhale slowly through your mouth, your stomach should go back in. Now, many people, when they take a breath, they move their shoulders up and down and find that their stomach stays in the same place. Now, that's shallow breathing. When you do diaphragmatic breathing, you'll find you're much more relaxed. And probably the last tip, Toby, is counselling using CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy. Now, that's talking therapy. That's an example that can deal with a multitude of issues to reduce stress. And that can usually be accessed through your GP.
Well, as always, some very useful information and advice there. Elizabeth, if people would like to maybe get in touch and ask for some advice, where can they go to find you?
All the W's, newlifepharmacy.co.uk.
Well, thank you once again, Elizabeth Roddick from New Life Pharmacy in Glasgow, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much, Toby.
Thank you so much, Toby Davey there. It's the Best of 2021 special, and coming up on the Happy Hour, we're going to hear a conversation from the blind poet himself. Dave Steele is an award-winning poet, author, public speaker, singer, and disability advocate. He was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa in 2014
and is registered severely sight impaired. Following his diagnosis, Dave took to social media to find support. He now uses his platforms to share his poems with the blind and vision impairment community. Dave has released three books titled Stand By Me RP, which are a collection of personal poems. They have topped the poetry charts across the world. I'm delighted to say that he joins me now. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Holly. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's such a pleasure to have you. For anyone that's not familiar with your story or your poems, can you take us back to the beginning? When and how did you start writing poems about your vision impairment?
Well, it all started back in 2014, as you said there right at the beginning, when I was officially diagnosed with RP, retinitis pigmentosa. I'd known, obviously, it was in my family, because the type of RP that we have is what they call autosomal dominant. So there's a clear trace from my mum's side. My mum's got it. She's completely blind now. And I've got a couple of sisters with it as well. So, but I was always told it probably wouldn't affect me till later on in life. And I kind of just got on with my life, and for a lot of years worked as a singer and was kind of traveling the world and doing lots of things like that. I kind of knew that there was problems with my sight, but I was maybe in denial about it for quite a period of time. I probably struggled with night blindness from my early 20s. But other than that, was clear enough to still be okay for driving and just kind of adapted myself and got on with things. And then it literally got to the stage where I could no longer deny it any longer, and my vision started to rapidly decline. And I remember walking into an optician's to get myself checked and then looking into the back of my eyes and seeing that the pigmentation on the back of my retinas was really kind of thick now. And straight away, the optician said, you need to be referred to a retinal specialist. You need to stop driving straight away. And then, as we said, in kind of April, May 2014, I was diagnosed as being severely sight impaired. And that first kind of 8 or 9 months was really a struggle. I went through a lot of the things that most people go through with that early diagnosis of, struggling, a loss of independence, dealing with anxiety and depression through, the sight starting to decline quite rapidly, and also the financial pressure it was putting on my family when we were, struggling with applying for things like, benefit support and all the things like that, that a lot of people have a hard time with. And it was literally almost a eureka moment when things kind of changed for me. I was at probably my lowest ebb, in a real dark place where I was really struggling. And one of my sisters, who was the first one in my family to be actually diagnosed with RP, suggested that I turn to social media for support. And I did that. I joined some of the support groups on Facebook and started speaking to people, and then got invited to a support group, a physical kind of face-to-face support group. Remember when we could do those before COVID, in Newcastle for people with RP and for people with Usher syndrome, so deafblind. And when they heard that I'd spent years working as a singer, they said to me, would you come and be the entertainment for the support group day? And immediately I said, yeah, absolutely, because I was quite nervous about going to the support group for the first time, because it was my first time being around other people who were going blind. And that was quite a scary thing for me. I was quite anxious about it. And when they asked me to be the singer for the day, I was like, yeah, because that felt like a reason for me to go. It almost put me in like my comfort zone, because being on stage was kind of second nature to me. And then the moment it all changed and where the poetry came from was the night before going to the support group. I was in bed deciding what songs to sing for them. And I just had this idea of taking a song that everyone knew, but changing the words so it would have more of an impact. And I chose Stand By Me by Benny King, because I love that opening line of when the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, because that was like night blindness to me. And I chose that song, and literally like someone sat on my shoulder speaking the words to me in bed, I rewrote the song in about 10 minutes. And the next day I performed it. And when I performed that song and people heard the words that I'd written, they said to me, I was able to describe how they'd always felt about their journey with blindness or low vision, and that my words were making them feel like they were less alone. And that just kind of struck something in me where it kind of opened the floodgates, and all of a sudden all these words, poetry, music and poetry, because poetry to me is just like song lyrics, just literally started to pour out of me.
How has turning your feelings about your sight loss helped you when adapting, adjusting and accepting life with a vision impairment?
Every piece of poetry I've written, you know, does that kind of same thing where, as we've spoke about before, it helps people understand that they're not alone with what they're going through, the same as, you know, the writings that you do. And also they use my words in that poetry form as a way for them to explain to their friends and family and their loved ones how they feel when they can't find the words themselves. But for me, every time I got a response from people like that, something inside of me healed. It gave me my purpose back, I always tell people, because when I started to lose my sight, you know, I couldn't do the jobs that I used to do because I couldn't no longer drive and get myself around. And, you know, I had to kind of find a different path. And I always say that the biggest thing that RP took from me was my purpose. I didn't know what I was going to do next. So when I found this ability to kind of write these words, helping people, rebuilt me, and it helped me come to terms with my own journey as I was helping other people.
What was it like to turn your poems into three books? Because obviously they were really personal to you, but you put them out there in the world for everyone to read.
It was one thing that I really kind of said right from the start, the minute I started writing poetry, because initially when I started writing, I was just posting them on the support groups, as I still do now. And the more I'd get response, you know, that kind of response from people saying those things that we just said, that kind of inspired me to the point where I was writing every day, sometimes two or three a day. And then by a year later, I'd written about over 100 poems. And people said to me, oh, you need to start a Facebook page. So I started a Facebook page named after that first song, Stand By Me RP. And then people then started saying to me, oh, you should put these in a book. You should release a book. And that's what I did. You know, they helped me self-publish a book, and Stand By Me RP, the first book came out in February, which is RP Awareness Month, in 2016. And in its first week, it became the number one European poetry release on Amazon in both America and Australia. And that was just like, that blew my mind when that happened.
You traveled to America to do a book tour. What was it like to share something so personal to you in this way?
Oh, it was incredible. I went and did my first USA book tour on the East Coast of America in late 2019. And that all came about because one of my followers in America had wanted me to come out there, because I always found that in America was where my kind of biggest audience that always was. I think people in America are a lot more in touch about being open about their feelings. Here in the UK, sometimes we can be a bit more reserved, that stiff upper lip that we always talk about. People find it harder to talk about emotions here in the UK, whereas in America, they kind of like, they're really open about it, and sometimes they can kind of overshare. So America's kind of been where my audience has always been, but actually going out there and doing physical events and speaking at conferences for, you know, organizations like AFB and the National Federation for the Blind, and then doing events that were just kind of based around me and getting to meet some of these people that I'd been interacting with on social media for quite some time, was really so emotional.
It sounds like your books have made such a huge impact on blind or vision impaired people all around the world. Do you have any plans of releasing any more books?
I've got a new series of children's books being released this October. They're called Austin's Amazing Adventures. They're based on my son, Austin, who's now 8, who has a 1 in 2 chance of going blind. But he's in the story, he's a young visually impaired boy. And it's about him going to a mainstream school with his best friend, who's his guide dog, Joe. And it's about helping children with disabilities in general, but children in particular with low vision and blindness, be more understood by other people, and also have a character to identify with. And these stories are all written in that kind of poetic style, so short poetry stories. And they're aimed at kind of primary school children. And hopefully they're going to really help a lot of children with disabilities in general be more understood.
I'm sure all of our listeners will be keeping an eye out for those books. But in the meantime, if anyone would like to read your poems, if they're maybe wanting a bit of comfort or reassurance, where can they find your books?
You can find them on Amazon under the name Stand By Me RP, or you can go online to my website, which is theblindpoet.net. That's theblindpoet.net. And there's links there to all my kind of social media on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all those kind of things. It's amazing the power of social media now. Literally, if you type into a Google search, The Blind Poet, there's links to me kind of all over it now, which I'm really, really proud of now. So it's great and helps me to kind of reach more people and support more people through my poetry.
Well, I certainly love seeing your poems pop up on my social media feeds and always enjoy reading them. So would definitely encourage people to follow Dave on social media. Thank you so much for joining us on the Happy Hour. It's been such a pleasure to chat to you.
Yeah, thank you. You're very welcome.
This is RNIB Connect Radio.
And that's the end of our Best of the Year special part two.
Now, if you've missed part one, don't worry. You can catch it again this New Year's Day at 8 p.m. or find it on our podcast along with all of our episodes and interviews from 2021. Just search for RNIB Happy Hour Podcast.
Now, of course, we are at the end of the episode, so it's time to play our music therapy moment. And today we chose a track that brought us a lot of joy throughout 2021.
And honestly, we're big Ed Sheeran fans, so we really couldn't wait to play this one for you.
Now remember, if you'd like to share your music therapy moment, a song that means a lot to you, whether it makes you smile or has helped you through a tough time, we'd love to hear what it is.
Yes, please get in touch. It's radio@rnib.org.uk, and we're also on Twitter @rnibradio and Facebook RNIB Connect Radio.
But for now, here's Ed and one of our favourite tracks from 2021. And Paulina and I will see you on the next episode of The Happy Hour. Bye!
Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips, and our chat, just catch the full show plus some extra tracks that you might have missed on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat, Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. And we have new episodes every other week. But for now, I hope you enjoy the Happy Hour podcast, and we'll see you on the next episode.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.